Matthew chapter 12 will begin in verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, last week we looked at verse 33 and the first half of verse 34. So let's pick up second half of 34, read it one more time. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, this is one of the most basic principles about mankind that there is. What a person has in their heart will manifest itself sooner or later. It's going to come out in our words, the words of our mouth, and many times in our actions. Now, James chapter 3 and verse 2, James says that if any man offend not in word, he is the same as a perfect man. James is not saying if we can control our mouth, we're perfect people. Word perfect, it really means complete, or in other words, James is saying if you learn to control your mouth, you're going to be a complete Christian. You're going to be at the top of your game, if you will, to paraphrase. Our mouths give evidence of the kind of person we are. And we can control our mouth to a degree with have bad stuff in here and keep it from coming out to a degree. But it ultimately will come out in some way. Jesus gives this text, if you will, on the heels of, I'll remind you what just took place, the Pharisees have just blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They actually told Jesus that he was casting out demons by the power of the devil. And we've all studied all that together, so we won't revisit that. But he speaks and says these words on the heels of that. They spoke evil because they were evil in their heart. And in their hearts, they tried to condemn him when really their hearts condemned themselves by what they said and revealed what was going on the inside. And so in the Bible, as you know, as you study the Word of God and it speaks of the heart, it's speaking of the center of our thoughts. When it speaks of our heart, it's talking about the seat of our will, the center of our thoughts, the center of our whole being is bound up in what Scripture refers to as the heart. So the character, essentially, the character of every person is really determined down in the heart. Now, verse 34 tells us, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That word abundance means fullness or to overflow. So think about this for a moment. Whatever we have our heart full of, it's going to eventually overflow or spill out, if you will, through words. If our heart is full of pride, guess what's going to likely happen very soon? Boastful words will come out of our mouth, okay? If our heart is full of jealousy, then probably snide remarks that are towards the person we're jealous of will flow from us, okay? If it's full of lust, probably lewd remarks and suggestive remarks will come out. If it's full of hatred, then angry words will come out. And on it goes. And on the other side of the coin, if our heart is full of joy, then happy or joyful sentiments will come out of our mouth. If we're thankful in our heart, then words of appreciation will come out. If we're humble in our heart, probably very few words will come out. And so it works both ways. If we love and have kindness in our heart, then loving and kind comments will come out of our mouth. And so on and on the examples go, but essentially the true character, our true character, finds its roots in the heart. And remember this principle, roots turn to fruits. Roots turn to fruits. In simple terms, what that means is if our hearts and minds feed on something particular, then we will in time produce words and actions that are in kind to those thoughts. If a person is seething with anger towards an individual and feeds on that anger, doesn't deal with it, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, okay? We got to deal with anger when it comes on us, okay? If we don't deal with it and we feed on whatever that particular offense is that person or people brought to us that's caused our anger, if we feed on that, then it's just a matter of time, because the root is there, right? Root in anger. Then it's just a matter of time before we find the fruit. And the fruit begins to produce itself, which will result in hateful words, hateful actions, and these sort of things towards that person or people, or about that person or people. The book of Proverbs in chapter 23, verse 7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you think about it, we must be very, very cautious in guarding our hearts and monitoring, if you will, the content of our hearts. Looking in there and taking an honest assessment and seeing what we find. If we find good things, obviously those that are healthy for us, you hang on to them and you cultivate those things in your heart. But if we find things in our heart that are not good for us, things that are unhealthy, we should quickly, very quickly try to deal with that by confessing those things and working hard to rid ourselves of those things. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And let me explain that verse a little bit, because it's a great memory verse if it's not already one of yours. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's simply speaking of watching our heart, observing our heart. It's really the same idea as I said just a moment ago, monitoring our heart, keeping close tabs of what's in our heart, and being diligent. It says keep it with all diligence. In other words, work at keeping your heart clean. And there are only two people that can peer into our hearts. And that's God, of course, not a people, but the Lord can peer into our hearts, and we can peer into our hearts. Only two people. You can fool everybody around. You can fool your wife and your kids and everybody, but you can't fool God, and you can't fool yourself. Well, you can fool yourself. But the thing about it is, the only two people that can peer into our heart is God and us. God just knows it because he's omniscient. He knows it all. He sees it very clearly. But with ourselves, it takes a little bit more work, because we tend to not want to see some of the ugly things that are in our heart. And so we have to learn to overcome the denial of saying, well, everything's okay. It's all right in there. We have to be willing to own up to whatever we see, not sweep it under the rug, but rather own it and try to sweep it away. And the only way that we can do that and give our hearts a good thorough cleaning is if we see it clearly. And so seeing our heart clearly involves work. You know, I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be deceived by my own ego or my own appraisal of myself. I don't want that. God, I want to see what's really going on in here. And he'll show us. When I was growing up, my grandma's house, grandma and grandpa's house, every room in the house was linoleum. There wasn't a stitch of carpet in the whole house. And it seemed to me, and you remember things funky when you're kids, you know, but it seemed to me that it was always dirty. And part of that was, is you can throw a cat through a wall in any direction, okay? But the other part of it was, is my grandma, it wasn't that she didn't sweep, it's that she was near blind. So she just missed it, most of it, okay? And it just seemed like it was just dirty all the time. Well, you know, we can be near blind when it comes to our own heart sometimes. It needs a good sweeping, but it needs to be seen with clarity. In order to give it a good sweeping. And so the best way to do that is to look at our heart through the lens of Scripture. You know, we can see everybody else's business very clear, right? Well, it gets a little blurry when we try to peer into our own heart. And so we need to look at everything through the lens of Scripture. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It's just simply saying, God, I want to be inundated with your word. I want the, your word to be something that is all over my heart, so that I won't make the mistakes, that I won't, the issues of life that Proverbs talks about will be good issues. The things that flow from me will be good. And the truth of the matter is, if we don't clean our hearts, and just like we said, and we're learning from this scripture, we will sin. It will spill out eventually. You've heard me say it many times. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket eventually, okay? Proverbs 23 again, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." There we see in that verse the root and the fruit, okay? The roots are in the heart, and the fruit are the things that flow out in everyday life. So you got the root and the fruit. Now Jesus goes on, and he expands upon this principle in verse 35. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." It's really interesting. It's the first time I ever discovered this, but the word treasure is in the Greek, is thesaurus, okay? Most of us, or many of us, know what a thesaurus is. I've got one in my office, a thesaurus. I can't even say it. Thesaurus is a book of antonyms and synonyms. So if you got a word, you say, well, I don't really want to use that word, but I want to use one that means the same thing, you can look in a thesaurus and it'll tell you other words, optional words, that are synonymous with that, okay? And so, but here's what was really interesting about that. That word thesaurus, treasure, means in the Greek, thesaurus, it literally means treasury of words. That's what a thesaurus is. It's a book of many, many jillion words, and the literal Greek word means treasury of words. So we can look at it this way. Our heart is a treasury of words. And a good heart is going to be storing up good words, and a bad heart or an evil heart will be storing up evil words. And so there's this principle. Jesus drives it home very clearly with the wording there. A good man out of the good treasure, the treasury that you have here, is going to be good if you've got a good heart, okay? But the treasury is going to be bad if you've got an evil heart. So we've ridden that particular horse to death. Let's just move on for just a few moments in the next couple of verses, and then we'll get you on your way. Let's finish with some very sobering words, if you will. Verse 36, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now let me tell you what verse 37 is not saying. It's not saying that our salvation is determined by the words that we use, okay? The justification and condemnation from an eternal standpoint, they're determined by the blood of Christ, okay? Which is given by grace through faith. So the blood, you by grace, if you're a Christian, you've called upon Jesus, the blood of Jesus is applied to you, and therefore you're justified before God, okay? Vice versa, if the blood of Christ is not applied to your account, you're not justified, and you're therefore condemned. From eternal standpoint, that's the case, okay? But an unregenerate heart will betray itself, if you will, with its words. A regenerate heart, a saved heart, will reveal itself through words. And so a person's speech reflects the condition of their heart. The word justification in this context means to show or to exhibit. So we don't, what we walk away from here tonight with is this. Whether we're lost or saved is not determined by the fruits of our mouth, but the fruits of our mouth will reveal whether we're lost or saved. You see what I'm saying? We're not going to be lost because our words are bad, okay? But if we are lost, our words will be bad. You see what I'm saying? I hope I'm clear on that, okay? And so whether we like it or not, what this scripture is telling us, we will be judged for our words. Now, there's two different judgments, though. You got the great white throne of judgment where you're judged whether you're saved or not, whether the blood of Christ is applied to you or not, okay? That's the judgment between the lost and the saved, okay? But the judgment seat of Christ, which the Bible speaks of, that you and I will face as Christians, not about whether we're going to heaven or not. We're going to heaven through Christ by grace, okay? That's given to us, never be taken away. But it is giving an account for our lives, the way it was lived. And Jesus literally, when he says that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, I believe what he says, okay? I don't believe he's speaking in a general sense. He's saying every word, every idle word, meaning just really every casual word, with the things even we say in passing, we're going to give an account for. Does that mean that we're, again, no, it doesn't mean that we're going to hell. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make it to heaven. It's just speaking of in terms of our rewards and loss of rewards when we go to heaven, okay? So even our casual conversations will be taken into account and result in good or bad. It's a pretty sobering thing when you think about it. And let me leave you with this. I'll just read it to you. Scientists theorize that sound waves are never completely lost, but rather they gradually fade beyond detection. So the words I just used there, we can't recover them, but they're out there somewhere, okay, is what this is saying. With sufficient sensitive instruments, every word ever spoken in history of mankind presumably could be retrieved. In other words, the scientists theorize the words are out there. They're still echoing through the universe, okay? If we had sophisticated enough equipment, they could actually be recovered, okay? We don't at this point. Hope they never come up with it. I'm against that, okay? But that being said, how much more certain can we be that God, with his infallible records, can record every word and deed of mankind and keep it perfectly preserved until the coming judgment? Obviously, he can, okay? So these words that Jesus speaks there are not to be taken lightly. Every word, every idle word, our casual conversation, we need to be conscientious of whether it needs to be said or whether it shouldn't be said, whether it's good or whether it's evil, okay? And it is indicative of what we got going on in our heart, okay? Appreciate you guys very much. Let's go ahead. Ladies, I hope you get signed up. If you're not signed up, here in just a few minutes, it's going to be too late. And that's not up to us, it's up to the people down there. They told us today, man, you better get these numbers in. And it was very limited, okay? So please sign up. We want you to go. You're going to have a good time. Get to see Blair, for heaven's sake. Grew up on Facts of Life, man. And so Miss Garrett, she's not going to be there, but Blair will be there, okay? Let's stand and be dismissed.